these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Judges chapter 2. The Word of God says, "And the Lord saith unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. I always wondered what has to go through a commander's mind if that should happen. Yeah, okay, whoever doesn't want to go, just let them go home. And 2/3 of your army leave. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people to the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself, likewise everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lappeth, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lappeth will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. And let all the other people go every man unto his place." There are many believers who claim and profess the name of Christ, and in fact they are saved. But there are not many who are the 300. And I would like to take a few moments to talk about the 300. Because the 300 are the ones that really saw the hand of God. The rest of them were Israelites. They were the chosen people. When Gideon called, they did respond. They were willing to go with him, although their heart didn't desire it. But they were willing to go with him. But God is looking not just for my will. God is looking really for my heart more than He is looking for my will. Because if He has my heart, my will is not an issue. If all that God has is my will, then what is at stake is what I control. But God is not interested in that. God is interested in being the God of my heart. God is interested in me giving Him my heart. That's why He said, My son, give me your heart. And when that heart is given, then it's not a will question. When the heart is given, there's a different thing taking place in that believer's life than with the believer where the will is simply given. This is why that one man who was persecuted in the communist churches for so long, when he spoke to that American pastor in the car, and the pastor asked him, you know, what do you think of American Christians and American Christianity? He said, American Christians are very committed. And the pastor said, well, that's good. And the man said, not really. It's not good. They need to be surrendered. The reason is because I choose what I commit to. When I commit to something, I decide how I've committed. But when I surrender, then another decides for me. Another will gird me. Another shows me the things to come and the way that I should take. Another leads me in all truth, if I am surrendered. The difference between those who left Gideon and those who stayed was a surrendered heart. Those were the 300. It's very easy for me to be one of the 27,000 that leaves right away. The Word of God says there that those were the ones. God said, you had too many, because those were the ones who would say to themselves when God had done something for them, look what I have done. That happened to Hezekiah. After God came through for Hezekiah against the Syrians, and the angel slew the 185,000 men outside of the walls, Hezekiah's heart got proud. Because he was proud because God had done such a mighty thing for him. But not realizing that God had not done it just for him. God had done it for His chosen people. God had done it for Israel. Well, and He was a good king, and He did lead them correctly, telling them, God is going to come through for you. With us is the Lord, and with them is the arm of the flesh. He was right in all those things. But that was also when he was humble. But then his heart got proud. And when he got proud, he said, I did this. It was for me. God did this because of me. And his heart was elevated. And Habakkuk 2:3 tells us that that is not a good thing. And so the Midianites, when they came up against those the Israelites, God has already determined that He was going to defeat them. The question was God going to get the glory when the Midianites were defeated? And with those 27,000 people, He would not. The 300 understood something. They understood Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Where the Word of God says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou should become a plain? And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. If I'm a 300 believer, then I understand that it's not by my might and it's not by my power. It's not by what ability I have. It's not by how good a wheeler and dealer I am. It's not by how good the people are that I surround myself with so much. I mean, we want godly people around us. But let's say I'm a businessman. It's not that I have the best accountant in the world that my business is successful. It's because God is blessing my business. If I'm something, anything else, if I am a soldier, and maybe I'm a captain, and I have excellent soldiers around me, and I may say, by my excellent soldiers, I'm going to win this, but that's not correct. And yes, the training is good, but really, the one that gives the increase is God. And that is a 300 believer, the one that recognizes that it's not by might and it's not by power, but by God's Spirit. This is why nothing is impossible for the believer who operates in faith. Because that is a 300 believer. That is the believer who says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit. If I say this is impossible, then I say, oh, it's by might and power. And there is not enough might and power to do this. So obviously it is impossible. But it's not by those things. The 300 believer recognizes that it's by the Spirit of God that all things take place. The 300 believer is a kingdom-oriented believer. The 300 believer is very conscious of his operation within the kingdom. He's very conscious of the spiritual warfare that is going on. This is why they did not put their face in the water. They were watching in the warfare. The others, they forgot themselves. The others said, whatever. But not the 300 believers. In verse 3, the Word of God says there, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. You see, this is the thing. The 300 believer is not occupied with the external things. The 300 believer is not occupied with natural things. And the 300 believer is not occupied with the things of self. Because this is what causes us to be fearful. The external, the things of self, through the natural. When I live in the external, the natural, and the things of self, I will be a fearful believer. If something appears to me and it is challenging to me, then it will cause me to be afraid of that thing. When people come and they challenge me, I will be afraid of those people. This is not a 300 believer. The 300 believer is the believer who is like, I don't care who you are. I'm not looking at you, Philistine, though you are 9 feet tall. I don't care that you are 9 feet tall, and I don't care that you have a big sword and a spear, and I don't care that you have a helmet and a shield. I don't care. I don't care that I have no natural provision for the circumstance. I don't care that I have no armor. I don't care. I do not have a sword, but I have something that is greater. I have a God who can take my smooth stone and He can plant that stone into your head, Philistine. And this is much better. How do you think David got that good an aim? The man was wearing a helmet. How do you plant that stone just in the right spot so that it kills the Philistine? Well, I believe an angel took that stone and guided it into its place. You see, David was a 300 believer. David was one of those who said, I don't care about your size, I don't care about your ability. I don't care if you are stronger than everyone else around. I do not care. You are not stronger than my God. I don't care if you can do something nobody else can do. You cannot do more than my God can do. I don't care what you got going for you. It doesn't make any difference to me. You don't have more going for you than what God is to me. And it's like Hezekiah said, with us is the arm of the Lord, but with Him is the arm of the flesh. And the 300 believer recognizes that with Him is the arm of the Lord. Hey, do you get this? Do you get this, that in your life with you is the arm of the Lord? Do you get that? That in the circumstances that you encounter, with you is the arm of the Lord? Do you get that all things are from God and with you is the arm of the Lord? Do you get that your circumstances were ordained by God and His arm is upholding you? And He will fight your battles? Do you understand that this is the divine reality of the kingdom as it is now? With you is the arm of the Lord. The believer who recognizes this truth is a 300 believer. They don't look fearfully toward things. They don't consider natural ability. They don't consider natural provisions. They don't consider natural ways. They don't consider the ways of the world. What do they consider? They consider who God is, and that with them is the arm of the Lord. The 300 believer knows this. The 300 believer is a kingdom believer. He is not occupied with any other thing. The kingdom believer is not occupied with anything but the kingdom. In Deuteronomy 20 verse 8 it says, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go home and return to his house, lest his brethren's heart fail as well as his heart. How often have we heard people will start, hey, this is like difficult, this is scary, this is big, this is much, this is, and yeah, you know, you're right, it is, I didn't think of that. You know, you could like get in trouble here, oh, I could get in trouble, you know, this isn't the ordinary, no, it's not ordinary. And the heart gets faint. How often do you hear believers speaking this way? speaking against God's faithfulness. But that's not how the 300 believer thinks. The 300 believer says, with God, all things are possible. The 300 believer says, I have the victory because God has given me the victory. The 300 believer says, I'm not budging and I'm not swaying and I'm not, if God said it, I'm sticking with it, and that's all that's to it. The 300 believer is the one who waits for God to move his steps before he moves them himself, regardless of what his circumstance looked like. Do you know what Daniel did? He slept. That's what his difficult circumstances amounted to. He slept. I find it interesting that Daniel slept and the guards were eaten. Why do you think that is? Because Daniel was a 300 believer. How do I know Daniel was a 300 believer? Because he wasn't afraid. Do you know wild animals, why they attack? They attack when they sense fear. That's when they attack. Either they are afraid or they sense fear. The lions sensed fear from the guards, but not from Daniel. They sensed confidence from Daniel, like, this is where I belong. Yeah, it's a lion's den, but it's my lion's den. And he took over that lion's den as soon as he stepped in it. He said, this is my lion's den. You guys are doing what I tell you to. This is my lion's den. This is where God has called me. This is my place. Don't you have any doubt about it. This is my. I don't care what it looks like to you. This is my place. I'm taking a nap. And the lions could not eat him. But when the guards came there, they were not 300 believers. They were not any kind of believers. The lions, guards came, a great deal of fear and trepidation. Why? Because these are lions and I am food. And this scares them. Because they were not 300 believers. And so the lions smell the fear and they attack. The 300 believer knows how to think with God. The 300 believer knows how to utilize the promises of God. The 300 believer knows that God will be faithful to him in all circumstances. The 300 believer recognized that in all things, God comes through. The 300 believer knows how to stand on the promises and rest in them also. The 300 believer knows who God is intimately. And this is why Daniel could fall asleep in the place that God had given him. By sight, it didn't look like much. It looked like a lion's den. But who was in charge? It wasn't the lions. Who was in charge? The 300 believer was the one that was in charge. In verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many, bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. The 300 believer is not occupied with his needs. The 300 believer is not occupied with his wants. The 300 believer is occupied with the kingdom of God. They looked because they were watching. Isaiah 21 and verse 6 says, For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And in verse 8, and he cried, a lion. What did the watchman see? He saw a lion. What does this mean? Who was the lion? In 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and be vigilant, be a watchman, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The 300 believer is not devoured by lions. The 300 believer sees them coming and blows the trumpet. The 300 believer knows that he needs to watch though, because he has an enemy and they were watching. This is why they picked the water up and cupped their hands and put it in their hands and brought their hands to their face so their eyes could stay up rather than looking down because of their occupation with their need. The believer, that is a 300 believer, is living in a union with a kingdom, in a oneness with a kingdom. He is not living with the occupation with himself, his needs, or with the needs or self or situation of other people. He is occupied only with the kingdom. As the kingdom meets needs, so will he meet them. But as the kingdom says no, he will say no. And as the kingdom says yes, he will say yes. The 300 believer is not occupied with a horizontal plateau through sentimental attachments, through personality rapport. The 300 believer is occupied with what's going on with the kingdom. The 300 believer is there to promote the kingdom. That is his life. The kingdom is his life. Nothing else is an important consideration to a 300 believer. He picks up the water and he'll meet the need, but he doesn't stop watching. He takes care of what he needs to take care of, but he's aware of who he is and what he is dealing with in reality and truth. Because he's a kingdom occupied. He's living in a union with a kingdom. He's one with a king. He's a part. He's a functional moving part of a grand kingdom. He doesn't get occupied with the small and the bitter and the trivial, and he doesn't get occupied with those things that are meaningless. You cannot move such a believer from the kingdom of God. Whatever promotes the kingdom, this is where that believer is. He doesn't do things like not be faithful. He doesn't do things like get careless. He doesn't do things like get familiar. He is a kingdom 300 believer. And so he watches. He watches. I remember when the ministry was going through some things and Pastor Stevens was ill. Pastor Schaller called Pastor Stevens from Hungary and said, "Would you like me to come home so I can be there to support you?" He was willing to leave his entire church in Hungary. Why? Because he was going to be in the place of his call. He had no sentimental attachment to that place. Although he loved the people, he was not sentimental there. He was going to be where his pastor was, where the God of this kingdom was moving. And he was going to be loyal to that. He was available. Pastor told him, "No, I need you where you are." But he was available. He was a 300 believer. You see, the 300 believer is not careless with the kingdom. The 300 believer understands the significance of warfare and word, of body and fellowship, of lost souls going to hell, of a testimony that declares the glory of God. He's not occupied with self. He doesn't occupy with what he wants. I would like things this way. I would like things that way. I would like it like over there. I want it with sugar and cinnamon on top. That's not a 300 believer. A 300 believer is like, "Where's my sword? Where's my shield? Let's go to war. Let's go to war for some souls. Let's go to war for the Word of God. Let's declare it in Satan's territory." That's a 300 believer. Most of the believers, they were believers, but most of them were not among the 300. They had too many other considerations, better things to do. They had places to be. They had business to take care of. They didn't want to be there. and they didn't have to be. God wasn't looking for them. God was looking for the 300. Because the 300 knew the meaning of the kingdom of God. The 300 knew what it meant to go into battle. These were no strangers to battle. These were no strangers to difficulty. They knew exactly why they were. They were there to face down 135,000 Midianites. But they knew that being 300 meant absolutely nothing. That what was really important was that they were watchmen in the kingdom of God. Available hearts with warrior heart minds. With a warrior spirit. A spirit that loved. That loved the kingdom, loved God, loved the lost, loved believers, that loved. They were going to be loyal to Gideon. It didn't matter what was going on. Gideon, we're watching your back, buddy. Those were the 300 believers. You see, there was no war going on at the brook. But the enemy knew who Gideon was. Why do you think they were watching? God told the Midianites what was going to happen. It edified Gideon. Gideon in and of himself was nothing special. He was a man who was a little bit anxious about his circumstances. Kind of like, God, are you sure you want me? But when that barley roll came into the tent, they knew exactly what was going on in that dream. You see, the 300 believer doesn't back off from the things of the kingdom. In Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. And in verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Here's the thing. We are called to be 300 believers. We are not called to be part of the 29,700. We are called to be 300 believers. We are called to be the watchmen. We're not called to be those who get attached to circumstances. We're not called to be those who have sentimental personality rapport issues. We're not called to be those who are petty towards their own flesh. We're not called to pamper our flesh at all. We are called to take it to a cross. But those are the 300 that saw the glory of God. They were the ones who were there. They were the ones who had the pitchers in their hands and the candles and the trumpets and did all the shouting. They were the ones who then pursued the Midianites as the 135,000 ran from the 300 and were defeated by them. And they were not always accepted. They were hungry and they went through the countryside and they came to places and said, give us something. And they said, no, we're not giving you nothing. Because the enemy is bigger than you are and we're not helping you out at all because you want food and water to refuse yourself. Yeah, but then the enemy is going to hear about it and we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And two places did the exact same thing. And what did Gideon say? He said, we're going to take you apart when we come back. Because you are not 300 at all. You are of the world. You are siding with the enemy against the kingdom. And you have no place with us. And sure enough, the Midianites were defeated and so were those who would not side with the 300. This is like those who will say, who will yield. They'll yield to things like attacks. They'll yield to things like circumstance. Somebody starts gossiping. Somebody starts being negative about another believer. They say, okay. A little bit uncomfortable to the too cowardly to say anything. But not the 300 boy. Not the 300. The 300 were gracious and kind, but they also had some G-U-T-Z. They knew what they were standing for. They knew what they were all about. They knew what God was all about. They knew what the kingdom was about. They were not playing any sort of games. They don't. Hey, you're either with me or against me. You're either with the kingdom or you are against it. And that's the thinking of a 300 believer. And I'll win your soul. I'll bend over backwards to win you to Christ. And if you have a problem, we'll bend over backwards to help you to be restored. But if you're not interested, I'm not interested either. So I've got better things to do than picky-anny, puny, piddly stuff. I got more important things to do than piddle around in the world when there's a kingdom on the move. Those were the 300 believers. I'm not playing games here. I'm taking God seriously, taking the kingdom seriously, meaning business with the Almighty. Those were the 300 believers. And in verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lappeth, I will save you. By the 300 that lappeth, I will save you. See, it wasn't by might nor by power, but by God's strength. And that's all it was about. And that's what Hezekiah was telling Israel. He said, don't be afraid of them. Greater is God with us than the flesh with them. But then, what happened? The Syrians said something different. And the 300 weren't listening, but the Syrians said, the third, 29,700, they were listening. But the 300 were not. The Syrians said, let not Hezekiah deceive you in 2 Kings 18:29, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me. Then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink every one of the waters of his own cistern. This is the offer that is made to the 29,700. And they would accept that. They did. Hey, this is not your fight, this is not your battle. Hey, you go and do what's comfortable for you. Don't trust him that God's going to get rid of it. Look at it. He said this to them. We've killed all the nations and their gods didn't do anything for them. Your God's not going to do anything for you either. But the 300 weren't listening. The 300 knew who God was. Ezekiel, Elijah, Daniel, Jeremiah, all these prophets, all these men were 300 believers. Mary was a 300. Ruth, Esther, these were 300 believers. These believers were not interested in what the world or the devil had to say to them. The claims that could not be kept, even though the might and the power was on the strength of the Assyrians. But God said, it's not by might nor by power. The Assyrians had the might and power, but they didn't have the Spirit of God. The Israelites had no might and they had no power, but they had the Spirit of God. The 300 believer may not have any might nor power, but he has the Spirit of God. See, he doesn't need natural provision, natural might, natural power. He needs the Spirit of God, and he knows it. And in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 6, and Hezekiah set captains of war over the people and gathered them to get to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not dismayed, afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Judah was nothing compared to Assyria. But they had the Spirit of God. They had the Spirit of God. You see, this is the thing. Hezekiah wasn't making a half-baked confession. Hezekiah was declaring what God said to declare. Hezekiah knew that whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive it. Hezekiah knew that God would come through for him as he asked. He didn't challenge God's character or God's faithfulness, saying, what if God wants us to lose? He knew very well what God's character was. God's character is never for His people to lose. God's people always win. Oh, it may not always look like a winning situation by sight, but you're not living by sight, are you? Hezekiah didn't have a winning situation by sight with a weak little nation against a mighty, powerful army, the strongest on earth. Gideon's 300 were facing 135,000. Who would have thought that the 135,000 would turn tail and run? And those 300 would slay every single one of those 135,000 men of war. You see, the numbers weren't anything. The ability wasn't anything. Their strength wasn't anything. You know what was something? The 300 had the Spirit of God. And they were one with that Spirit of God. And they were in union with the kingdom, not playing games, but waging a war in a battle where victory was promised to those who would be faithful. And even those who are not, God abides faithful. But those who are get to experience the glory of God in action.